Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, understanding the prophecies of the end time, and understanding the Word of God. Let me ask a question. Is there a devil who is called Satan? Does he really exist? Was he always Satan? And if he was not always evil, when did he become evil? Why did he choose to become evil? And a lot of people don't understand that all those questions are answered right in the Bible. But we have to search out the answers and do like the Bereans did, to search the Scriptures whether these things are so or not. Now we have an article entitled 14 Rules of Bible Study. Now for you to get really into the Bible, to understand the Bible, you need to follow the 14 Rules of Bible Study so you can understand how to make sense out of the Bible. Because too many times, people are told in their churches, well, you don't need to read the Bible. Or, you don't have to read the Old Testament because that's all been fulfilled. Or, neither do you have to read the Gospels because Jesus was the minister to the circumcision. So everything in the Gospels are just for the Jews. So you don't need to pay any attention to that. What happens then when people don't use the whole Bible and put it all together? It's impossible to rightly divide the Word of God as Paul wrote to Timothy. So this is why God has given us the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And this is also why we have done the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, so that we can have the truth from the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the truth from the Greek of the New Testament, and to have it in a language that is in English that is easy to understand, yet at the same time is faithful word by word all the way through. A lot of people think that the King James Bible is, the most accurate Bible ever done. Well, that's not quite true. Because when you come to the truth of it and get into the Greek and get into the Hebrew, you understand that the translators back in 1611, now 400 years ago, did not have the means of understanding the Hebrew and Greek as we have today. Plus, there were a lot of political things that were added to it in their interpretation of it to support their version of the Church of England. And so as people began to study the Bible and come to understand more and more of the truth, they began to see that there were a lot of deficiencies and mistakes and errors in the King James Version of the Bible. And there were many faithful scholars who most happily pointed these things out. Some have been accepted, some have been ridiculed. But there have always been the warnings that follow along with what the Apostle Paul said, show yourself approved by rightly dividing the Word of God. So likewise, in understanding, is there a devil? How did he become one? So where do we start? Now let's come to a section of Scriptures, which is in the book of Revelation, and that's the last book of the Bible. But nevertheless, the historical setting of this particular chapter goes clear back in time before the beginning of man. And please go to the two video casts I did on how old is the earth. And that will give you the sequence of creation, and it shows that God created the heavens and then the earth, but in between creating the heavens and the earth, he created the angels. And within the ranks of the angels, one that is called Lucifer, or the light bringer rebelled. And Revelation, the 12th chapter, tells us about this historical event, but shows that it reaches clear back in time, comes clear through the life of Christ, comes clear through the operation of the church, and right down to the Great Tribulation, just in a single chapter alone. So we're going to look at certain select verses here in chapter 12 pertaining to the one who became Satan the devil. Let's begin right here in verse 3, Revelation 12. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. Remember, 7 and 10, these are counterfeit numbers of the truth of God. 7 is the number of completion, 10 is the number of commandments. Just in one verse. Now we have to read other parts of the Bible to fill in the details of this rebellion. We will see how it developed, and then we will see the reason for it. Let's go on. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. Now we need to understand that stars are also symbolic of angels, because Jesus Christ, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, is shown having 7 stars in his hand. And he told John that the stars, the 7 stars, are the 7 angels to the 7 churches. So stars are symbolic of angels. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven. Now this is telling us that, as we will see, 1/3 of the angels followed this light bringer, or Lucifer, in his rebellion against God. And he cast them to the earth. And so the angels, wherever their domain was, wherever their dominion was, they left it and were cast back to the earth. Now, the angels, from what we're able to discern from some scriptures, is that they inhabited the earth before the rebellion. Then after the rebellion, the earth was covered with water because of their rebellion. And then God later recreated the earth for a habitation for man. Now let's look at what Jude says concerning this. Let's go to the book of Jude. Now Jude was the brother of Jesus Christ, actually the half-brother. And in writing this, he wrote some very important and pertinent things concerning the angels who rebelled. And that when they rebelled, when they chose to go against God and chose to follow the one who became Satan the devil, and in doing so, rejecting God's way, they became what is known as demons. Verse 6, book of Jude. And the angels who did not keep their original domain, but deserted their habitation. They deserted it in rebellion. Now, when they rebelled, it shows that God is holding in eternal bonds under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Now, we're going to see there are some demons who are in prison, and that is a place of restraint. Now, if you think this world is evil now, you need to understand what an evil place it would be if all the demons were let out all at once. Now, we find that Peter wrote of this in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, that there were angels who were cast down to what the Greek says is Tartarus, which means a place of restraint or a spiritual prison. Now, there are other demons along with Satan who roam the earth. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but there are those, and they mislead men. And we find that one of the first things of Satan is not only rebellion, but also deception and lies. Now here in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, Now, angels who sin, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? What is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. Oh, there were laws for angels, yes. Probably very much like ours, but it made for the spirit world. Now, let's ask another question. Is God lawgiver? Yes, we find that in James, the fourth chapter. God keeps his own laws. That's why he's called righteous. That's why he's called holy. That's why he's called true. And everything that he does is righteous and holy and true. So the angels sinned. But having cast them into Tartarus, place of restraint, delivered them into chains of darkness to be kept for the judgment. So this tells us a little bit. Now, let's come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, and let's see how the one who became Satan began, and what was it that caused him to choose to rebel? Because it wasn't something God made him do. God is a God of righteousness and truth and love, so he surely didn't cause them to rebel. They had to choose, just like us. Don't we have choices set before us all the time? Aren't our lives filled with choices that we need to do? Aren't things set before us that we need to discern between right and wrong and good and evil? Yes, of course. Well, likewise, here in Ezekiel 28, we find the origin of the one who became Satan, the devil. And it's quite an interesting tale here. And also we see that in this story of it, we find that the same attitudes and the same spiritual things in evil that come from Satan the devil are found right here as the heart and core of why he chose to go evil. Just like us. Can we choose to do good? Yes. Can we choose to do evil? Yes. Are there blessings for doing the will of God? Yes. Are there curses for transgressing the will of God? Yes. Likewise for angels, because it says they sinned. Now, we know in the New Testament it tells us that Satan the devil possesses, that is, spiritually enters into a man or a woman and possesses them, and leads them to do great and horrific evil. There are also other angels that are not bound in prison who work with Satan the devil, called principalities and powers, and they also possess people. And there are also lower demons that possess people in insanity and things that cause people to become crazy. Now, we're also going to see that Satan has the power of influence around the world over nearly every human being who does not choose to go God's way. So we're talking about very important teaching and things from the Bible. Now, Ezekiel 28, let's pick it up in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Now, the king of Tyre and the prince of Tyre are used interchangeably. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you seal up the measure of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's how God made him. Now he's become quite the opposite of that. Verse 13, you have been in Eden, the garden of God. Now let's stop and think a little bit here so we understand what this is telling us. Now, God created the heavens and the earth, then he created Adam, then he created Eve. He also made a garden called Eden, where God was living, where he also put man to dress it and keep it. Now we know from Genesis 3 that the serpent came in, and we talked about the serpent back there in Revelation 12. So we have, in answering the question, how many people were in the Garden of Eden, or how many beings? One, God. Two, Adam. Three, Eve. Four, the serpent. So God says, you have been in Eden, the garden of God. Now that's not Adam, and that's not Eve, because they're dead, right? So the only being this could be referring to is the one who became Satan, the devil, also described as the serpent. Now it also says here in verse 13, the workmanship of your settings and of your sockets was prepared in you on the day that you were created. So here's a created being who was in the Garden of Eden. Did God create him evil? Or did he choose to become evil? Let's see. You were the anointed cherub that covers. I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. Now that means access to God the Father, to his throne. Mountain refers to the government of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's the sea of glass on which the throne of God sits. Now notice verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created. So there was a time that when this covering cherub, after he was created, that he was perfect. So in other words, he was perfect in his ways from the day that he was created until a certain point. And at that certain point, he chose to go against God. Now we can see some parallels with our children as they grow up. Children, yes, they have a human nature. Yes, they have tendencies that should not be, and that's just the way that human nature is. But there comes a day when our children decide to go against us. And in many cases, they think they are right. In many cases, they think they are justified, don't they? But they choose to do something that they should not do and know they should not do and have been told, you shall not do it. But they do it anyway. Now that's what happens when they go out, take drugs, go in speeding cars and get in wrecks, go with people of evil ways and evil intentions and get wrapped up in gangs and things like this. So there comes a day when that choice is made. Likewise with the one who became Satan the devil. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. God sets before mankind life and good and death and evil and blessing and cursing, doesn't he? He wants us to choose life so we can live, to love God and serve him. Now, likewise with the angels. He set before them the way of righteousness. He set before them the way of perfection. But they had to choose to walk in it. Now let's see what happened to Lucifer, as we will see, called the morning star, when we go to Isaiah 14 here in just a few minutes. But let's continue on here. In verse 16, by the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Now, whatever it was he was doing with the other third, with the third of the angels that followed him, we don't know exactly what it was, but it's called the multitude of merchandise. We can look and see what the bankers do today, can't we? And we can see what they do on marginal lending. And that's the multitude of their merchandising to try and create something out of nothing and to charge people interest and make them slaves to the lenders. Now, that's very satanic. That's not from God. That's the way of this world. And the Bible says that the borrower is the slave of the lender. Now, look what it got us with all the housing problems, with all of the stock market schemes, all of the Ponzi schemes, and the whole world is run on this kind of finances because, as we will see a little later, the one who became Satan the devil is also called the god of this world and will ask the question, how did he become the god of this world? And we'll answer that as well. But it says, you have sinned. So we find angels sinned, and this cherub covering cherub also sinned, and sin is the transgression of the law. What happened? Just like Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden because they sinned, so here, listen to this. God says, therefore, I will cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from among the stones of fire. That means eliminate him from the stones of fire. Because Lucifer, who became Satan, or the light bringer who became the devil, either way you express it is saying the same thing, has been rejected from God's presence, from living with God, and they have been eliminated from being there. Now, a spirit being, as we will see, does not die. So then we will have to ask the question, which we'll take on in another video cast, what is the fate of Satan the devil? So let's go on here and see how he became Satan the devil. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. So God created him beautiful, glorious. You have corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your brightness. Oh, he looked in whatever kind of mirror it was and looked at himself and said, I see God in his glory, and I see the one who's to become Jesus Christ in his glory, and look at me. I'm nearly as good as God. Look at the powers that I have. Now, what scheme was it that he used to mislead the third of the angels to get them to choose to sin with him so that they would rebel and were cast down to the ground? What was that? Well, we find it here. Vanity. Lifting up. How high did he lift himself? Come here to Isaiah 14. Let's see what it says here. Let's see what was the plan of Lucifer, or the light bringer, or the morning star, and the third of the angels with him. What was their plan that they thought they could get away with? What was it that happened? Now, verse 12, Isaiah 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning! How you are cut to the ground, you who did weaken the nations! For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. So the angels and the morning star, the one who is Lucifer, who became Satan the devil, were on the earth, and they said, we're going to ascend. What were they going to do? Notice. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's above the angels of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now that was his sin. Amazing, isn't it? God created him perfect, beautiful, but he had to choose to be righteous. And when he chose to reject the righteousness of God and the goodness of God and the love of God, and he decided to rebel, and he convinced a third of the angels to rebel with him in this rebellion and war. Now, we're going to see there was war in heaven. That's why they were cast back down to the earth. Now, we'll cover next time a little more concerning the origin of Satan, the devil, and the demons, and what their power is today, and how that God has given us through his Holy Spirit the power over all the evil in the world. But we have to choose first to love God, first to serve God, first to follow God. Otherwise, we come we become victimized by it and are controlled by the evil that runs this world. Please be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We have many sermons showing the truth of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the faith of God. We have many on prophecy. We have many on how to understand the difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul. It is a tremendous wealth and treasure trove of scriptural teaching with no political agenda, no religious agenda, but to teach the Word of God so that you can come to know God, you can come to the point where you can be converted, and then you can live God's way and be ready for the resurrection when Jesus returns. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.